My next guest enters the podcast ring as an 8-time WWE champion. Now she's helping others reach a $1 million goal in her third season as a judge on Canada's Got Talent. Welcome to the Stratosphere, next on Brio TV, the podcast. So, are you ready to rumble? We've got a guest who will definitely not put you in a sleeper hold. She's a WWE Hall of Famer who is back as a bad girl after a wrestling career that stretches back over 20 years. This native of Richmond Hill, Ontario, grew up watching wrestling, only to become the biggest female wrestling star of the century. For the past two seasons, she's joined Howie Mandel, Lily Singh, and Cardinal Official as one of the four judges on Canada's Got Talent. They're all back for a third year in what is billed as the $1 million season. Please welcome the amazing Trish Stratus. Well, good morning, Trish. Thanks for joining me this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Are you an early riser?
When I need to be on your podcast, I sure am.
Well, I'm an absolute fan. I think you've been tremendous on Canada's Got Talent. This is the third season, of course, the $1 million season. I've been to a live taping in Niagara Falls there at the Falls View Casino. Yeah. It's quite exciting. And now I'm sure you're used to thousands of people cheering and crazy, but yeah, this must be a different experience.
It is different, but there are similarities. You know, that's like one thing I remember. I love the energy of the crowd. I feel like it creates a mood. And it's certainly something that makes it unique. As you know, when you go to the live tapings, you get that extra feeling. And it's so much so that we actually call the audience our fifth judge, because sometimes they'll rally behind an act. And sometimes I might be like, I am not feeling that. And I'll say it straight up. I'm not feeling that. I don't know. You know, this is the right act. And the crowd is like they'll literally just be like, completely rallying for the act. And there's times where I can say I've been swayed by the crowd, because I understand if they're feeling it, that means the audience at home is feeling it.
But you must be used to that. The crowd is such an important part of wrestling, isn't it?
It is. Oh my gosh, so important. I rally them. I do this. I get them going. And, you know, even the producers will come out to me and be like, I really like that you get the crowd involved. Like, that's what I can bring as a judge. From the wrestling. You know, because believe me, when I first got the gig, I was like, what's a wrestler doing on the judging panel of Canada's Got Talent? But I definitely see that there's some things I definitely can bring over, you know? So the crowd interaction is certainly great for the energy and definitely creates an atmosphere and a mood. And I love when they participate. It's super fun.
Yeah, I think you're perfect for those reasons and many others to be involved in this. And also, many of the acts are physical, aren't they, on Canada's Got Talent? There's the Cirque du Soleil, there's a very gymnastic element to some of them. And that's probably where the other judges really rely on you, right?
You're right. The great thing about this is the variety aspect of it, right? It's not just the singing or just the dancing. It's things like that, where you'll see some physical feats and some, you know, the insanely crazy things happening from human bodies, which we definitely saw this season. I definitely resonate towards those. I resonate with it because, you know, I know what my work was, a physical work. I appreciate the dedication it takes to do this and to, you know, and the collaborative effort for a group to work together, things like that. So I definitely appreciate that. And I'm definitely stronger than Howie. That's just a statement I made there. Randomly.
Absolutely. I don't think Howie would last long in a steel cage match.
No, I don't. I think I would pretty much destroy him in about, I don't know, maybe I'd give him 30 seconds, maybe, just make the differences, you know?
He might be able to joke his way out of the first 30 seconds. You're right.
But that's it.
Yeah. It fascinates me because your day job, as a wrestler, my goodness, Trish, is such a demanding one. I looked at some of your matches online, and you are up high, dropping low. Like, it's crazy some of the stuff you're doing physically. So when you're watching these people twirling from the ceiling at the Falls View Casino, you know what they're going through, right?
Yeah, no, you're probably referring to my cage match. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yes.
Dangling from a 15-foot cage and then fell.
Crazy, yes.
From a 15-foot cage.
Ouch.
It's wild. I mean, listen, I went back, obviously my career was back in the day. I'm an old time wrestler, and I went back and was lucky and blessed to have a second run and a second go at it, and had a good little run last year, and it culminated to the cage match. So yes, that was pretty wild. And I came off that cage match right into like auditions and got to see some things. And you certainly can say, you know, cause you think about the nerves, you know, this is their one shot. They get on stage. This is their day to make it. So like, you can't be nervous. There's danger involved, which we love danger. I mean, we just love it. You know, I mean, it's definitely an element that people like, you know, love about the show, that we have the variety of it all, and that we have these things that other shows don't have. And so, yeah, I definitely, because, you know, and sometimes I'll need to point that out, like, guys, not only like think of the danger, think of like what it took, you know, for them to be able to learn just even that task to do that at that speed or at that height and things like that, you know? So, yeah, I definitely can see there's definitely parallels for sure.
And it's nice of all four of you, the judges, that it's a genuine enthusiasm for what you're doing, right? You and Howie, Lily Singh, Cardinal Official, you guys all seem to be really into it.
We love it. We, you know, we came on three seasons now. We are super blessed to be three seasons in. And in the beginning, we really like, you know, we didn't know what we were doing. To be honest, we're like, we're judging people. Okay. And I remember we kind of leaned on Howie, like at that point he was the 10 year veteran. I think now it's 13, whatever we're at. You know, he's been there for so long. The advice was just, you'll just know, like, go with your gut, go with what feels right. And, especially for Golden Buzzers, me and Lily mostly, we were just like, okay, are you as nervous as I am about the Golden Buzzers? It's a big responsibility. You can literally change the trajectory of someone's life, someone's livelihood in a moment with this Golden Buzzer. So is it the right one? Will there be someone better? And the advice Howie said was, you'll just know. I was like, that's it. That's the advice. You'll just know. And I thought it seemed so like simple. It can't be that simple, surely. But in fact, it was. It really was about feeling it, something just strikes a chord with you. And, you know, as a judge, you know, you feel it. You feel that there's just a tangible thing in the air that's like, this is the one, and you hit that Golden Buzzer. So those moments are super fun. We've all sort of fallen into our roles now, and we love it. We're just a big family, and it's so great that we get to, like, you know, come and see each other all the, you know, at the auditions, at the semifinals, the finals, and it's our little family. It's really great. It's fun.
Have either of your Golden Buzzer winners gone on to win the last two seasons?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Well, there you go.
Yes, I should have been on last season. Yes, my Golden Buzzer won the entire thing. You know, this conversion, and they were incredible. And boy, it's just the emotion that you know, they're just storytellers on stage, which is what really connected with me, because what I do is storytelling in the ring. It's two people physically telling a story. So this was a group that told a story physically, and it was beautiful. And I knew when I saw it. I knew it looked just like how I said. I just knew, and the goosebumps went up, and the tears were welling, and I was like, if I'm doing this, I know right now Canada's feeling this right now. And sure enough, they were.
Yeah, no kidding. And Trish, you, with your career, you have some insight into fame, obviously, and adulation from fans. And now with the $1 million prize on Canada's Got Talent, you know, this more pressure. Do you have some? Do you feel that almost like a mentor in terms of what these people are getting into in terms of being a professional entertainer?
I mean, I sometimes wish I could be more of a mentor role, because we only have that sort of limited interaction with them. I wish I could take them aside and go, listen, though, for when you come back, or if you make it to the next round, let's do this. I would love if you could do this. And we can offer some of that in our, you know, our critiquing and things like that. I think that, it's an interesting thing. It's not always that this is about the moment. Maybe, you know, just to win it is, it's $1 million, but there's going to be no's along the way. There's going to be moments where this is not your moment, but just even the no is going to be just a spot along your journey, not necessarily the end of your journey or the culmination of your journey. But having $1 million, knowing it is a big responsibility for us, that it could, like, really, I mean, is this person is he responsible enough to handle $1 million?
Right. Yeah.
You know, and also just watching that we had such, like, the level, like, the bar was risen so high these last two seasons. And so this season, we were like, oh, I don't know. I mean, it's been pretty great. And then now that we have $1 million, you could tell there was something. People were like, I'm only bringing my game to this, you know. And we had also international people come out, so the pool was even larger. And you could feel that. You could see that the talent was, you know, when someone was it's coming from a different country, but a Canadian living abroad, and they were able to come to their home stage and bring in their talents home. It was pretty special. But you could see definitely an elevation in the level that came. We saw some wild stuff this season. I'm super excited for people to see it. You'll be laughing, you'll be crying, it's such a blast.
Trish Stratus will be coming at you again after this short break. What's new on Paramount Plus? Meet A Gentleman in Moscow, premiering exclusively on the streaming service at the end of March. Based on a best-selling novel, the series stars Ewan McGregor as Count Alexander Rostov. The good news? He's spared immediate execution in the aftermath of the Russian Revolution. The bad news, however? He's banished to an attic room in the opulent Hotel Metropole, threatened with death if he ever sets foot outside again. So what's a comrade to do? Rostov enters a whole new world of emotional discovery where he gradually learns the true value of friendship, family, and love. Mary Elizabeth Winstead also stars as glamorous actress Anna Urbanova. And remember, there's a mountain of premium entertainment for audiences of all ages, including programming from Showtime, BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, Paramount Pictures, and the Smithsonian Channel, all on Paramount Plus. What's new this month on Super Channel? Well, if you're looking for the next big frothy family drama, check out Prosper, an Aussie-Brit hour-long serial premiering March 24th on Super Channel Fuse. Prosper follows the Quinns, the founding family behind one of the fastest-growing megachurches in the world, U-Star, based in Sydney, Australia. Poised on the precipice of a lucrative American expansion, the family, hell-bent on global domination, or domination, both work, right? Is about to catapult into a whole new stratosphere of wealth and unchecked power. But behind closed doors, the Quinns are a family protecting shameful secrets, all while preaching a message of faith, love, and acceptance for the many thousands of followers. This is a study of a damaged family inextricably bound together while tearing themselves apart. And remember, Super Channel, an all-Canadian service, is available via most cable providers across the country, as well as streaming live and on-demand with Amazon Prime Video channels and Apple TV+. You can also check out the new streaming channel Super Channel Plus, available now on the Roku platform in Canada. And we're back with Trish Stratus.
Well, I hear it gets wild and weird this season. Is there anything specific you can tell us to look for?
Well, I can't tell you anything specific. I can't because, you know, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want no spoiler alerts on this one. I have to tell you, though, it really is worth watching. You know, people's lives are going to change. And don't forget, the golden buzzers are $25,000 thanks to CIBC. Wow. So there's a lot of money being thrown around this season. You know, it's
not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. But yeah, you'll see that the level of talent and the types of acts that hit our stage were just things we'd never seen before. And my gauge is always like when Howie goes, looks at us and says, I've never seen anything like that. When he says that, you're just like, wow. Yeah. And he's proud because it's on his home, in his home country, on his home stage. Yeah. And it's nice to see that to kind of wow Howie is obviously, you know, something special because it's Howie Mandel. He's been doing this for, I don't know, 30 years, I think, right? Is it what he's been doing it for?
He loves being at home. And and I think half of the crowd is his family.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they love their Howie.
That's
right?
It. Howie always brings cousins and everybody comes out. Yeah. Trish, you grew up in Richmond Hill. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Toronto? Yeah. And when you were growing up, who were you a big fan of Hulk Hogan? How did you, who were your wrestling heroes? Did you have them in
high
school?
Yeah. I was a big tomboy. I grew up, I had boy cousins and I wanted nothing more than to just be part of the boys. Just like when I went to wrestling, I ended up just wanting to be part of the boys. You know, it was definitely a consistent theme in my life. But I was just a tomboy growing up, loved sports, played all kinds of sports, played soccer, played field hockey. I mean, I played varsity field hockey for York University of Toronto and women's rep soccer until I was 21 years old. So I, you know, soccer was, or sports was a big part of my life. But wrestling, you know, Toronto is a big hotbed for wrestling. So they filmed it at Maple Leaf Gardens. And I used to go down there with my aunt would take me and my cousins and my sister to Maple Leaf Gardens and see the wrestling. And so, yes, I was a Hulkamaniac. But to me, Macho Man, Randy Savage, that was my guy.
Randy Savage, no kidding. I mean, he's right. You're right about Toronto being a hotbed. Even my grandmother used to go down to the gardens to see Whippoorbilly Watson, you know.
There you go. Exactly. There's so much history here. It's amazing.
I grew up watching Haystacks Calhoun, the Love Brothers, and all those guys. And once interviewed Mean Gene Kaniski.
Did you really?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was terrifying. He was a cranky grandpa, that guy. I thought he was going to grab me by the nostrils and throw me up Young Street. Like, yeah, he's a big guy. But you say you enjoy playing, you're sort of the bad girl in your return to the ring now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I liked it because, you know, I started my career as a bad guy, then became the beloved baby face. And a lot of the thing was I was, you know, I came in a little bit of a non-traditional way. I did come up in the minor leagues, so to speak. I didn't do the, you know, the independent wrestling scene, whereas most people kind of, you know, work their way up to the big leagues, which is WWE. For me, I just got lucky. It was just one of the right place, right time. And I, you know, happened to, and, you know, prepared to meet opportunity is my motto. So I did definitely prepare to maximize that opportunity, which is why it worked out for me. But, you know, I feel like I have lost my train of thought, Bill. I have no idea what I'm saying.
It's early. Listen, I'm with you. It's okay. I'm just so impressed by your career. Are they 8-time WWE champion, WWE Hall of Famer, and wrestling still, like, my goodness. We talked off air before we started about a steel cage match.
You're talking about me being a bad guy. That's what it was.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And it was like, how do you do it? Like, my back hurts watching you. Like, it's incredible, the feats of strength and the daring. You must have a couple of Canada's Got Talent tapings where you're black and blue and aching. Like, it's just a hard work, right?
Luckily, the timing actually worked out that I was done. Like, my wrestling finished off, and then I got some time to heal and recover from my cage match. And then I ended up doing. That's why I actually the opportunity came about. They wanted me to come back, and I said I'd been back as a baby face, as the good guy, you know, for so many times. But I thought I want to challenge myself as a performer and sort of touch on, you know, going back to bad guy. And a lot of things in wrestling is very nostalgic. People love, like, everything old is new again. And so I was able to go back and sort of do little callbacks to some of the stuff I did early on in my career. And that made it a lot of fun for the fans, that, like, the nostalgic fans who'd been watching and were still along for the ride, you know. And it just gave me a challenge as a performer to come back and see what I could do in that same role. But now, as a mature performer, what could I do? And I just, honestly, I do yoga. It's a huge part of my life. I do a daily practice every single day. And it just is, I really believe that's part of it. You know, healthy lifestyle. I live a healthy lifestyle. And I think that's what helped me go back and do what I did at the level that I did. I was surprised. Believe me, one thing I've always said since I retired, people said, like, would you ever go back? And I used to say, if I can go back and give 100%, I'd never want to go back and be like, hey, kids, here's a cool 60. You know, I wanted to be able to go back and give 100%. And I wasn't sure when I went back, could I do it, until I got out? Because, you know, you could train all you want in the ring, but until you're doing it live in the live crowd with that energy, you never know, right? But, you know, watching it back, I just wanted to make sure that it was up to par. You know, I was still offering everything that they had become accustomed to in the years before. I always say wrestling's like riding a bike a little bit. Like, you can always kind of go back and do it. You're just not sure if you can do it at the same speed.
I watched one of your matches when you came back sort of in 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
And you were wrestling. Your opponent was quite tall, a very large person. And you're right. It wasn't like, you know, you had been retired for a while. You'd raised some kids, and you're in the ring. It's like stepping on the ice with you know, the top hockey player right away. Like, it was astounding.
Thank you.
And you're there, you know, blow for blow. It was fantastic. So congratulations. Have you gotten your fellow judges? Is Howie doing yoga now? Have you given some tips to Lily? How are your fellow judges keeping fit?
I'm not sure. Carnell Fischel and I do yoga often.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we do breathing exercise, right, Cardi? He's over there.
That's
over.
All right.
Yeah, here he is.
He's meditating right now. That's why he couldn't join me. So he's meditating and doing tree pose at the moment.
Wouldn't he be the ideal wrestling announcer?
Well, absolutely. In fact, that would be really cool. I think maybe we should arrange something where he does announce me if I decide to go back again. He could announce me. That's actually a great idea. He's so my personal I like this.
That booming voice. Absolutely. And Howie would make the weasel manager, don't you think?
Oh, my gosh. He'd be great. He'd be like the Jimmy Hart of of judges. I love that. Yes, absolutely.
Who are some of your favorite wrestlers today?
You know, right now I'm really loving Rhea Ripley. She's just she's in a whole other league than, you know, she brings so much and people love to hate her. But, you know, when the crowd organically, like when you're a bad guy, but the crowd like is loving you so much, they want to hear you. That's a real special thing that you've got that sort of je ne sais quoi. And so she's definitely got that. She's worked really hard to be where she is right now. And she's on a great journey. Her trajectory has just been like really fun to watch. And I was able to go back and sort of see it firsthand. And she just loves the business so much. And she was waiting for her, you know, because there's times in wrestling where you think it's just not going to hit. She's tried other characters. She did things that, you know, there'd be times where the storyline just wasn't going or there's no storyline at all. I remember they were here for a live event in Toronto and they had nothing for her. She's like, I don't know what they're going to do with me. You know, meanwhile, now she's, you know, one of the longest reigning champions that we've had. So going into WrestleMania, she's the champ. And so the question is, will she hold it? We'll see. But I'm really enjoying watching her. She's been great.
We'll be back with the main event, Trish Stratus, in just a moment. Here we are again with Sweet Emily Gagne from Hollywood Sweet. Emily, do you like your new nickname?
I love it, Bill.
All right. What do you got for us this month on Hollywood Sweet?
Well, we've got some sweet offerings for you.
Nice.
Yeah, I had to. I particularly like the Women in Film collection that we have. It's Women's History Month, so we always like to celebrate with some historic achievements by women in film. So we've got films like Private Benjamin, which was written by Nancy Myers. We've got Ishtar, which I've mentioned before on this ad space.
Yeah.
We've got Cemetery. We have some Barbara Streisand-directed content. The Mirror Has Two Faces. The Holiday. You name it, we've probably got it this month for Women in Film.
Very good. And you've got an exciting new documentary, too, I hear.
Yes, it's called Nuked. And if you loved Oppenheimer and learning more about the bomb and how it was made, now you can watch this film, which talks about the indigenous populations that were affected by the aftermath of the bomb. So it's a really good complement to the award season, front runner.
Well, I don't want to tell Hollywood Sweet what to program here, but you should pair that with Dr. Strangelove and perhaps Blow Up, just because of the title, right?
Yes. There's lots of options for the whole
All right. There you got it. That's what you're seeing this month. Lots of great films by women directors and stars on Hollywood Sweet. Emily, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
And here she is again, Trish Stratus. And wrestling is really, it's gone through quite a change in the last year or two, has it, in terms of ownership and things? Does it seem much different to you in that way?
You know, there's little things that are different, but for the most part, the machine is the machine. There's the writers in place. You know, it's sort of the things that are still running. All the things are still in place. You know, like we have the writing team in place, and there's the producers and agents who help put the matches together, and of course the talent. So everyone's sort of still doing their job. And I think what they wanted was a bit of a seamless transition. Anyway, I think that was the idea, was to, you just keep, you know, what if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So it's one of those things where it's running. The WWE is what it is and has its successes. But we have enjoyed some of the stuff coming that comes with being partners with TKO, right? And just bigger exposure, like our WrestleMania this year is the record numbers lately we've had, and a lot of like fan experiences they're creating, things like that, which is something that, you know, that they I think they bring to the table. So it's been a great partnership so far.
Mm-hmm. And you've extended your own brand as a fitness expert and other things, right? What are some of the things that you've become associated with in your business?
Well, I used to have a yoga studio, and we took away the bricks and mortar and just turned it online. So we have the yoga and fitness business. I have a line of fitness products, and I have a line of DVDs, which I'm a true believer in yoga, right? So I just feel like I have the platform, so I want to, like, this my mantra one part was like, I want everyone in the world to do yoga and just feel great and, you know, live long and happy lives. I'm doing something called the Bad Girl Tour right now. So after we wrapped up my little run at wrestling, we did an autograph signing tour, which takes me to different cities. I was just in the UK doing a speaking engagement which was like an intimate evening with Trish, where I got to take interactive questions from the fans. Wow. And for me, it's really about like coming back and giving back to the fans. Meeting these fans one-on-one is so special. And what's really been neat is to come back on the second run, you know, having this unique position of having a guy come to me who's a full-grown man. I grew up watching you, which makes me feel old, but that's such a he's telling me that he grew up watching me. He's now a man. He's excited that I came back and he got to see him again. But then he's showing me his son or his daughter, who also is now watching me, you know? And so it's really cool to see that I've lasted generations. And I've seen this, that, you know, it's just wrestling fans are just so dedicated. They've been around forever. And so to meet them one-on-one, share their stories, and every city has a unique vibe, right? So someone they'll show me a picture of, like, you know, literally I took this picture in 2004 when I came to that live event and you were there. And so to see these pictures and, can we recreate this? I met you once. Or people saying, I've waited 20 years to meet you and now you're back in the circuit and I get to meet you in person. And now, back in the day when I first started, it was, let's just say, it was a lot of men demographic at my autograph signings, you know.
Well, I was going to say, wrestling changed because it became much more PG, didn't it? It was quite racy 20 years ago.
It was indeed. And also, just the work of the female, you know, like I know when I was in it in 2000, it was around 2002 that I was like, I was a woman's champion. And I was like, I have the power right now to change the perception, the preconceived notion, really, of what females can do in this business, you know? And so we tried to, every match makes a difference. And then we did see a rise in the female demographic. We saw more of an interest from the women fans. And so now I could say, I go to my autograph signings and there's little girls crying and they're saying, when I grow up, I want to be a wrestler. That wasn't even an option back in the day. You know, like people ask me all the time, did you know you want to be a wrestler when you grow up, or like when you grow up? And I was no, because it wasn't an option. I didn't look, there was nothing for me to see on that show that I could say, that's something I can do. But now there is. So it's very, you know, it's I'm proud of the work that we did, and we really changed the way women are viewed in this business, and they're contributing, you know, just like the guys are, and they're a viable part of the entire show, and it's really great to see.
What do your kids think of Mom the Wrestler? I mean, I bet you never had any problem getting them to go to bed on time. How did that go?
You don't want heel mom to come out. No, I only suplex them when they're really bad. You know, only when it's like bad school marks, but otherwise, you know, I do traditional mommy. You know, just kidding. They love it. Actually, they're just starting to get to understand. Like, as in the last 2 years, I've started to understand that mom is kind of famous at times, depending on the crowd. Yeah. And so the other day, I've been traveling a lot with my work, and I was leaving again, and my daughter said, she says, and it was heartbreaking, right? She says, Mom, why can't you be like normal moms? And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was like, I felt awful, right? I thought, well, I would need to delay my trip or so. But then she goes, but you're Trish Stratus, the wrestler. And it was so weird to hear him say it, to be honest. But I was like, okay, so we're okay. Oh, very funny. But they definitely enjoyed the perks of that.
I bet. It's Supermom, really. What the hell? That's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, Trish, I want to ask a couple of questions about television, if you don't mind, and they wrap things up here. Do you have a favorite TV shows right now, or the things that you're watching or streaming that you really are into?
You know, someone asked me this the other day. And I have to say that I have no idea what's on right now. I have not been watching any television. I've been literally living on planes for the last year and a half, I think, or wow. Since Canada's Got Talent started, probably. And then with the wrestling on top of that. But I'm hearing a lot of good recommendations. Will you give me a recommendation? Because I have some downtime coming up. Tell me what I should be watching.
Are you looking for a good drama, a police show? Like Slow Horses is pretty good on Apple TV Plus. Yeah.
Like I'm so behind. Like Yellowstone has like been talked about. I've never even seen it. Like isn't that insane? People are like, what?
Listen, I cover TV and I can't keep on top of it. There's a lot of shows people see that I haven't seen. So, but there's some good stuff coming up on Apple TV Plus. Manhunt is very good. And Lincoln, Michael Douglas is going to be playing Benjamin Franklin. The series is called Franklin. And it's him in France and toward the end of his life playing a key role as a diplomat. 8 parts. It's excellent. There's a lot of good stuff coming up for sure.
I have some long travel coming up, so maybe I gotta bust something out to stream on my way.
Wow, good for you. Now was there a show when you were growing up, when you were a youngster in Richmond Hill or Toronto, was there something that you used to race home from school to see? Did you have a favorite show then?
Well, wrestling of course was a big show for me. Wow. I remember Fridays was Love Boat, Fantasy Island. That was the Friday night.
Right.
I love Three's Company was always a show that we enjoyed as family. I love comedy and anything, especially goofy, Jack Tripper. Yeah. that was fun for the family.
I grew up watching Buffalo and Channel 11 and Hamilton had great wrestling shows. They had all those characters. It was like watching SCTV, only with action and fighting. Like it was.
Oh, SCTV I loved as well. I love that. Yeah. Anything comedy is good for me.
That's great. Okay. Well, it's harder to find nowadays. Was there a TV theme song that you were a particular fan of? Did you have an all-time favorite theme?
That's a good one.
I mean, you mentioned you like. Lord. I was going to say, right. Yeah, yeah. Three's Company, right? And just your children, they watch you. Have they watched Canada's Got Talent?
Yes, they love the show. And it's been really fun, like I said, they've just got into wrestling. Just this past year I went back. But before that, my stuff, it was like in the past. I didn't really watch it. They didn't really know about wrestling. So they weren't really watching my stuff yet, right? And I did a Christmas movie. Was it last year or 2 years ago? And I was like so happy that I had, some work that they could watch, sit down and watch the Christmas. And so when I started with Canada's Got Talent, that's one thing that was really nice is that they were excited about it. It became a little, every week we'd watch it together as a family. And it was really great that they could really, get into it and to share my work. And then they'd come to the shows live like you have as well. And, that's a great experience for them to come and see it live. And it's neat.
Must be.
The whole thing of everything. So it's been, it's been fun. But we were Got Talent fans from the very beginning. We used to watch the compilations. And, the kids all watch their own thing. But as a family together, that was something we all watched. And so to be on it, it's still surreal, to be honest, And like my daughter, she loves Howie Mandel. She's obsessed with him. It's really cool. Like I still pitch myself about just having this, being a judge on Canada's Got Talent as it is.
Well, congratulations. It's the third season and it's the $1 million season of Canada's Got Talent. That's quite a commitment from Rogers. Pretty exciting in the crowd. You guys do a tremendous job. It communicates watching the show how much you're into it, having fun, and how you take it very seriously. So
thank you.
Were there judges besides Howie that you admired when you would watch the America's Got Talent or other shows?
Well, Simon, I'm a huge fan of Simon. My daughter is obsessed with Simon. So we, you know, we watch BGT as well. And she loves Simon and Howie are her guys. I love him. We got to have him to our finale episode.
Remember that. Yeah.
That was very cool. Special to sit beside him and to judge alongside with it was really special. And I was like another pinch me moment. We love it. I think I remember I heard a comment that said that when the first season, right, the producers spoke to went to the backstage people and said, how long have they known each other? Like, they have a great little relationship, these guys, the four judges. And we're like, oh, no, we just met. Like, we had known of each other in the Toronto scene and we'd come across, you know, we crossed paths here and there. But we weren't like, you know, socially, it sounded like they really thought for years we'd known each other on that social level because we just all clicked right away, you know, and we all bring a different take and a different spin and a different personality, and it's great. But I think as a group, we are really something. It is something special. And I think I'd like to think that, like, you know, when you have Howie arguing over Cardi and me and Lily disagreeing or agreeing, that's what's being reflected at home. We'd like to think that on the couch, you have mom and dad are yelling, and then the sisters are arguing about what's, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is neat. You know, I really think that's, it's reflected, it's mirrored at home, and I think that's who we represent. And I think it's a nice representation.
It's genuine, and the casting is perfect. And all these shows, it's like casting the series Friends. You have to have the right people in place. Yeah. And it's true. You guys look like you've been doing this as family for a long time, right from the start, which is remarkable, really. I mean, they tried Canada's Got Talent before, right? And it wasn't quite the right,
didn't click, right? It didn't have that je ne sais quoi, as we say.
There it is, yeah. Well, Trish Stratus, thank you so much for your time this morning. Congrats on the third season. Continued success. Please take care of yourself. Watch how fall you're...
I won't jump off these 15-foot cages anymore, Belle. I promise.
Don't do that anymore.
Unless it's for the women's championship, okay?
Well, if you do that, then I'll be rooting for sure. Perfect. So congrats. Good luck to you. And say hi to Cardinal and everybody there. And we'll hopefully watch you every Tuesday night this season.
Will do. Enjoy. It's a fantastic season. I promise that you'll be stratified.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Trish. Take care.
Thanks, Belle.
Bye-bye. Thanks as always to producer Phil Hong for wrestling another episode right down to the mat. Give it up for the tag team of BJ Del Conte and Paul Boudreaux and all the Crispy Critters, as well as piano man Stephen Dudley, who many years ago recorded the music you hear on this podcast. Finally, thanks to you, listener. If you enjoy this conversation, let us know with a like or a comment at Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Bill Brio. Thanks for listening.